Aloha, everyone. My name is Chrissy Patey. I'm an alcoholic. And my home group is Imua Waimea. And we meet Monday nights on the north shore of Oahu. And again, if we have friends that are staying after the conference, come out on the north shore and hopefully we'll see you at our meeting. Ooh, excuse me, I'm very nervous, but I'm very nervous. And for my friends, they know, oh, she can't speak, something must be wrong. First of all, I want to thank, I have two of my lovely friends visiting, my spiritual advisors, Mary Jo McKinney and Jerry. I just wanted to thank you publicly for coming and supporting me. And, oh boy, you know, I just only got one story, yeah? So now let me just say the story. Anyway, you know, I got sober at, I started my first attempt of sobriety at the age of 23, and that was 1982. And prior to that, I knew all about Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm second generation Alcoholics Anonymous. And anyways, I said I made my first attempt. I didn't, I got about 14 months under my belt. I came into treatment. And when I came into treatment, really, I was just learning the basics of living. Anyway, you know, when I went to treatment, just like on the treatment movies, you know, they give you the little tag that you name, and that's supposed to encourage speaking to one another, but my counselor gave me so that I could remember my name, you know, and it's an amazing thing because I've seen the power of the loving God work throughout my whole childhood. The problem is I didn't know how to evolve. I had a hard time. I took my first drink at 14 years old. But that wasn't a big deal. I didn't think I was an alcoholic at 14 years old. But I'll tell you what I was. I was a full-blown manager of Chrissy's life. And I, you know, so, you know, step one, the twofold of recovery, alcoholic and unmanageability. You know, that's where that started for me. I don't know about anybody else, but you know, my second drug of choice was him. You know, so you know, and I failed utterly. And I'm gonna say this. I was raised in a program. I seen my mom and dad, they came into this program and they fell in love with AA and AA fell in love with them. That's when, you know, when Alcoholics Anonymous was very small. And as a result, I was 7 years old when mom and dad got sober. And prior to that, I have actually, you know, in the very early days, I said I really don't have that much memory. But memory did come back, you know, in the last 17 years of my sobriety, you know, the memories of my childhood did return. Some not too happy and a lot happy, you know, and thank God for the steps, you know, that can lead me up to that power that is loving me and can help me to forgive those who was suffering from defects of character, who was not alcoholic. But anyways, mom and dad got sober and my life changed because they were sober. And so I had tasted the fruits of Alcoholics Anonymous. And what was that fruit? I think for myself, and I'm only up here speaking for me, you know, is that I was granted, you know, a normal childhood. You know, I mean, I was not so afraid of fights and stabbings and guns and police and, you know, children not supposed to, you know, you know, have to deal with that. You know, and I had not known it had a lot to do with drinking. In fact, you know, to be honest, I didn't really did it. I saw the end result of the drunken stupors. But they came into the program, and I just praise God, you know, that this program does work every time they worked it. And as a result, you know, my childhood was restored. But at the age of 14, I was a tomboy, and I'm not a studious person. I had learning disabilities, whatever. But, you know, it led me to feel, some of it is real. And, you know, as I grow up, I find out the whole, you know, God gives me what I need to know. You know, just put it that way. And anything that I don't know, He gave me you. I just got to be humble to ask you. You know, so, anyways. And you know where I had a difficult time in is really relating to the member of the opposite sex, because the transition of being a friend and a girl and having a pal kind of changed because the sexual realm was starting to come up. Now, I was raised Catholic, and I am still Catholic, you know, and I'm a living, breathing Catholic, as well as a recovering alcoholic. I would put that out. But, you know, I just didn't know how to deal with that. And when I took the drink, I could. I wasn't a pal anymore, you know. I felt prettier, and I was always a strong girl. I'm going to say this, too. You know, when I hit bottom at 24, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, I mean, to the curb, you could hear the foot, you know. But physically, I did it because I'm a strong woman. To this day, I'm strong. You know, I can lift this podium no problem. You know what I mean? I'm a strong person. Which was very difficult. I used to yearn for the femininity. Women was something that, even though I'm woman, but there was something that was foreign to me. You know what I mean? Because I was athletic person, strong, whatever. But I also yearned for communion, for this boyfriend, whatever that meant, okay, you know? And that's where I started running my own show. Against all the wisdom that was laid down for me. Oh, thanks, but no thanks. I got it under control. You know, and right away I could tell, bam, I started hitting the wall right away. You know, but my pride, you know, and just pure pride saying, you know, I'm going to do this. And I used to look at mom and dad and say, you know, that is good for you. You know, it's good. Keep doing what you're doing. And I'm so proud of you, mom and dad. But I got my own life going on. Thank you, I'm going. And, you know, about 10 years later, I came crawling back, you know, not being able to say my name, stayed in this make-believe marriage. You know, actually, I went into my second fifth step with my first real sponsor. The first sponsor was really the one I could run over, you know, the one that you get as your friend, and if they dare to tell you the truth, you know. So I got, my first real sponsor, and she is the one, this is about 10 years sober, you know, was showing me, Chrissy, you are not a married woman. What was the most obvious thing was the last thing, because I just went into that place of denial. You know, when they say denial about alcoholism, for this alcoholic, I'm not here to speak for anybody else, but I will speak for me. Denial meant everything, you know, denial meant everything. You know, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm not a drug addict, you know, I dabbled over there too. And I became everything he wanted me to be loved, which meant I'm not me. Everything. Hawaiian, brown hair, you know, whatever, anorexic, just make yourself so skinny, whatever you have to do, you know. And then we learned the liquid diet, and you can survive a little while on the liquid diet. And I'm not talking about water either. But anyways, you know, that was my story. And you know, in between him, you know, I'd like to over here bottom all the things, you know, in between him, you know, there is, you know, I'm the kind of drunk at that time is when I was in having arguments. I go to all my friends who pretend they're married too, by the way. And I try and, like, you know, stimulate some kind of beef with them and their man. And they say, come on, let's go. Let's party. You know what I mean? And you know, it's just destruction. Anyways, and of course, while I'm out there partying, you know, I'm doing the things that, you know, make me feel loved or make me feel powerful, you know. And some of those things is really painful, actually, you know, when you wake up the next morning and you go, oh my goodness, you know, and you try and just, like, grab your shoes and dig, you know what I mean? And you just, like, and you know what I hate in the morning? Seeing all the gay people, you know what I mean? I mean, you're coming home in the nice dresses and, you know, the night clothes, you're always in black or whatever, and then you see all the gay people going to work and feeling all good, and, you know, you're just cringing, like you're trying to get home before you see any more dead people, because they remind you, you know. And, you know, and that's like a 10-year stretch, you know. That's a 10-year stretch. Anyways, at the end of my run, you know, there's a lot of woundedness that took place by my own hand, and that's some. That was the powerful thing about Alcoholics Anonymous, because, you know, I did the wine, you know, I did many, many six steps, trust me. You know what I mean? I did the one at the bartender, you know what I mean? Just constantly whining and whining and whining, and then, you know, eventually, you know, they're 86, you, bam, you go to another bartender, you know, and you just tell them all, blah, blah, blah. And then I did the big, you know, abuse girlfriend club, you know what I mean? You go to their house, you know, smoke 500 cigarettes, big eyeballs with, you know, and just telling him everything all night long. And you know, I'm a good friend because I know next week she's coming to mine. You see what I'm saying? And that's the fellowship was already acting up at that time, you know. So, you know, telling another human being about the pain that's going on in my life is not a new thing. What was a new thing, and this is what Alcoholics Anonymous gave me to these steps, is that they asked me to tell me. You know, with the help of a sponsor, to tell me. You know, I'm too cheap, so I'm not going to a psychiatrist, so I'm telling them. But whatever the case is, you know, the magic of the program did happen in 1983. Since then, I've been able to stay sober. But I'll tell you, you know, and, you know, you see me up here 17 years later, many, many step studies and entering into the steps. But, you know, when I first got here and I was so, you know, self-centered, self-absorbed to the 100th power. That, you know, but yet, you know, I'm going to tell you something what happened to me. God was really beautiful to me right from the very beginning because, you know, when I read the third step, it says, made a decision to turn our lives and our will over to the care of God. And when I saw the word lives, it's plural. But I thought that it meant all the different lives I had. You know what I mean? Because I wore so many hats, it's not funny. And that's what I think the world out there call insanity. You know, they switch up, you know. You know what I mean? They're just there at the wrong place, you know, you just blow it, you know, I blow it at Christmas, you know, New Year's, Thanksgiving, you know. Have mercy. Anyways, but when I got here, I read it like that, and I wasn't afraid. You know, and I mentioned earlier, I was a Catholic, I mean, I was raised up Catholic, and I had no problem with God. You know what I mean? I because when I thought about God, I thought of Him from my childlike mind. You see what I'm saying? When people used to talk about God, oh, no problem, you know what I mean? I feel like I was skipping to the garden in a childlike mind, no problem. But I had not really recognized who I was. You see what I'm saying? And that's the denial, you know, just totally lying. You know what I mean? And that's another hat I used to wear. So when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and I saw the magic in the lady's eyes and I heard the truth and I knew they was holding, I knew it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you just know. You cannot lie about stuff like this. You know what I mean? We used to wear the crown, you know, of life. So when you come in this room, you know, whatever's going on in this room, this is real. And that's how it was for me. Okay, I want to speak from my own experience. So when the God thing was started to come up and people were saying, you know, the third step, coming to the third step, I went right back to that little girl. And when I saw lives, I thought God meant, Chrissy, I want all of you. The girl in the street, girlfriend that thinks she married for 10 years, bozo head, and even you sitting in a church, girl. You know, all those different hats come. Because I saw the S. After 1 year of sobriety, I realized it was talking about all of us. You know, and I'm glad that, you know, I made that mistake. You know what I mean? Because it made me less afraid. You know, it made me less afraid. And, you know, and where did that courage come? The moment I asked my sponsor, you know, to be my sponsor. You know, and I asked her to be my sponsor, you know, not necessarily to be my friend, even though later on, if I follow, she will be my friend, but not so much that she's going to be my friend, because at that time, while I asking her, I have no idea what friend means. You know what I mean? Not really. Kindness, compassion, forthright, honesty, you know, those things that encumber the core of friendship. That wasn't, I never had that in my hand yet. You know, so I'm very grateful for the women, you know, who say yes. That is so important, you know. And for the ladies, if you like me, looking for a sponsor, you know, and you have the ego bang every once in a while, like, who is good enough to sponsor more, you know? Anyway, looking back at my experience and the defiance that my sponsor had to deal with, you know, oh man, I'm so grateful, you know, because when I look back, and when I look at the program, it's not set in stone. You see what I'm saying? These steps are not set in stone. In other words, there's no rule that any of us have to put up with other people's defiance. You know, the rage that comes from facing oneself and the surrender process. And it does say in step two, you know, when first challenged to admit complete defeat. You know, complete defeat. That usually happens, and that happened to me in my private moments. I don't make complete defeat over here. Why? I got hula lessons, hugs, kisses, you know, maybe not that defeated. I don't know, you know what I mean? But the point is, you know, when I have to face myself, the complete defeat came in assistance with a woman who was willing to, you know, handle my defiance. And for that, I'm really grateful. And I look back in the program, nobody owe anybody, and I know this, nobody owe me nothing. You know what I mean? It's only by the grace of God. And then later on, you know, later on I find out from my sponsor, she did all of that, you know, in gratitude to her higher power. And for that, you know, and I look back at those early years, you know, and I think, ooh, God is loving, you know what I mean? He certainly is, you know. And anyways, it is there that, boom, everything started to happen. I did enter into the steps. I will say this, I am one that didn't listen, you know, never listened. I got into a relationship. I think I had a year and a half sober. You know. But it was a God relationship, man, because that man, he's in recovery too. And I love him dearly. That's my husband today. And he's a wonderful, wonderful man. And, you know, and he's just my soulmate, you know, but I had to take my soul to go see God first. And that's what this whole 12 steps is about. So I just wanted to bring that out too. Because, you know, even though I never followed directions, You know, my pastor did, that blank directions, you know. But, you know, and I will correct along the way. Not no have one relationship, okay. What it really means is have one with you, Chrissy. Have one with you. It's okay. You know what I mean? You are loved. You know, and part of the journey is to discover how much God loves you. You see, as a matter of fact, that is the core of the journey. So when the directions flow out, no relationship, or at least pause for the cause, that's what they really mean. You know what I mean? They mean, you know what? Not just the kind you just got rid of jail, you know what I mean? 10-year make-believe husband. Girl, you're entering into one. Come on, hello. You see what I'm saying? That's what they did. You know what I mean? That's why they suggest that wisdom. Easy does it, Christian. Hang with the women. Go to meetings. Do meetings. 90 meetings in 90 days. And I did more than, I can't even tell you how many meetings, you know. Because I tell you what, by the time I came here, I had zero life. You know what I mean? And you know when I read the 12 by 12, it says, you know what, you get here and all the scorecards read zero. Okay, that's my story. Anybody here had the scorecard read 72 when you got here? You know what I mean? No. You know, for me, when read zero, meaning zero, I was just learning how to talk again. You know, and I mean talking to another human being. I always was talking, but never had nobody standing there. You know. I made the, you know, one gig at a time, one meeting at a time, and get that down pat. The service structure was a giving deal. You know, I got sober in the Malia discussion group. That group was a life-saving group. You know, this is how that group, and I assume it's still that spirit of that group is powerful. I'm sure it is in all of Alcoholics Anonymous, but that was my experience. You know, it sounded like everybody was into service. And to me, you know, when you come in front of back end, and you know the promises that says, you know, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity going to disappear, and that's at the ninth step. And you're not even on the first step. Sometimes the weight is hard. Yeah. So they give us the service structure. You know, and I felt like the queen with the broom in my hand. You know what I mean? I just was the queen because I was given something to do, you know, and that feeling of uselessness did disappear for that moment, you know. I was useful, you know, and that's a big deal when you get here and you all use up. Yeah, all use up. No wisdom, you know. When you look at the elderly women or the women who have just lived. They have wisdom on them. They have knowledge. They have, you know, they have certain things. You know, I felt 100 years old when I got here. I was only 24 because I was used up. So when they tell me, hey, you know, that feeling of uselessness, you know, you're afraid, you're going to step back, you know, and I got to say too, when I got here, you know, I wasn't all weepy widow, trust me. You know what I mean? I ran with the girls who had a nice right hook. You know, that's it. You know, because I was really like, you know, I wasn't this pretty loving girl you see now. But I was afraid, that's why. You see what I'm saying? I was afraid. And so, you know, and you know, I wasn't a smart girl. I wasn't, you know, whatever. I never have all those things that I used to envy other women that was endowed with. But I knew I had a nice right arm. That's what I knew, you see. And so so that's how I came. I came with women who was that way too. And one thing we did have was good. Put that two arms to use. Start pulling out those chairs, you see, and start sweeping this and service. And service was just what it was about. Just do. For me, it was a big deal. I was unemployable. You see what I'm saying? So it's not like I had anything to do, you know. You know, and my sponsor just made me serve. And I mean, like, get to her house, wash dishes. You see what I'm saying? You know, because my mind hadn't been restored yet, was just going, and I was just fighting the drink without me even knowing, you know. And so service is a healing power thing. This is one of the, you know, pillars of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it works every time I work them. And I'll tell you something too. One of the, I started getting to service, following my sponsor around, did all the external service in the home group. I went into step study, entered into the fourth and fifth step. I did them three times. The first fourth step was My Autobiography by Chrissy P. The second fourth step, oh, thank you, is my last. My second fourth step was Everybody Else's Inventory by Chrissy P. And then my third one, and I told, you know, whatever, just perseverance. You know, that's what it is, you know, because this is a lifetime program. Nobody graduates until you guys bring the big wreath flower, yeah? Not the leaves. So, and that was the one, I tell you, whew, I tell you, I just, you know what, I, you know, and my sponsor, same sponsor, you know, and she let me slide too. Okay, Autobiography by Chrissy Pavey, you know. Whatever, and she get up, go drink coffee, you know, because, you know, and that was a big deal. You see what I'm saying? Because I never ever talked to me. So even just getting, you know, I never wrote one in school, please. You know what I mean? So that was progress, and I stayed sober. Went to the next place, progress, stayed sober, got pissed off, this and that. You know, the hymn, you know, the 10-year hymn. Girl, I needed to do a fourth step on that just to get angry. You know, angry at what? The kind of kick to the curb stuff. You know, this is what I used to do. Oh, rejection, that just didn't go with me. That just didn't happen. You see what I'm saying? It just didn't happen. And so it comes out in insanity, you know, police going come. You know what I mean? When a man's trying to tell you, get out of their life and put their whole bags outside. This is what I used to say. I was living in Sacramento, and he put all my bags outside, and he says, bye, see ya. And I remember looking at him, and I just went right into that La La Land, and I, you know what I told him? I said, oh, are we going to Lake Tahoe? With his big eyes, oh, we're going to Lake Tahoe. You know what I mean? Oh. And, you know, and then, you know, that kind of come in, and then, you know, you put the perfume, you put a nice, nice, nice negligee, and all the bags go right back in the house, you know. And you stay in jail for another year, you know. So, you know. So, when I get here, this is what the first step, which is rigorous honesty with self. I have to look that up. Rigorous, the word rigorous, many ladies go to the same school of application that have to go learn what the word means, you know. It means harsh and severe, rigorous, you know, honesty with self. That means this is not going to be a place. You know, the alcoholic, that way of thinking, has to be smashed. Smashed is a big word. You know what I mean? It sounds like a word, but, you know, it's a big word. You want to see what that look like with this bell? It's a big word. It has to be smashed. They're not babying me. They're not saying, well, you know, come back tomorrow and let's see what can happen. They have to tell me the truth. And they prepared me to meet me. And all the women before me, I would come to meetings over and over and over and over, and the spirit of hope would come for you, Chris. Come back. Keep coming back. You know, and the women did color in my life. They surely did. They did. And all I had to do is execute, show up. Show up. Big deal. You know, just show up. No big, you know, just be there. Anyway, because you know what? It's so simple. It's so big. And the miracles and the blessings that God has showered down on me through these steps, it's amazing. And that's why it just kind of baffles my mind, where all I did was just come. You know, and for some of us who can't even come, two ladies will meet you at your house and get you, carry you in the car and bring you. You know, just to come, and one day at a time, one meeting at a time. And I did enter into that step, and I did experience, I'm going to say this, on that third inventory, I experienced the grace
of God, and he did reveal himself to me. You know, I was at the St. Francis Spiritual Life Center, and I went over there because when I went look, and this is like, and the stuff was choked in, do you know what I mean? And you got to remember, I came to AA to get well from alcoholism. I'm not recovering from Catholicism. You know what I mean? So, I still got that same God. And you know, later on in the 12 steps, it says that, you know, many of us go back to the God of our childhood. And, you know, today we're rocking and rolling, you know. But this was me coming to see him. And boy, you know, my sponsor, God bless her, man, we work and we work and we work and we work. And she listen and she share and she pray and she listen and she share. And I weep and I cry and I go wherever I have to go in 3 days' time. And after the third day, you know, all of it was gone. You know, everything was gone. And I knew something wonderful was supposed to happen, and something did happen. You know, first of all, I'd like to say that what is written in that 12 by 12, the way God, you know, would gradually, you know, come one step at a time. But it did happen. You know, the years of pain, you know, that was dammed up for years, did break out of their confinement. It surely did, you know, and vanish. That's what the book said, and that's what happened to me exactly. That's exactly what happened, you know. And that peace and serenity, when they couple together, something of great moment will happen, will occur. I will share with you now that something of the great moment. You know, like I said, I entered in relationships still yet. I'm married today. You know, I have two children, 14 and 12, two beautiful daughters. And, you know, as I was entering into that spiritual realm, I was still in the social and physical realm with this man, who is now my husband. But, you know, all the Christies, I honest to God, I had an odd bodily experience. I'm going to just share this. But every single Christie that I had written down with him, with her, over here, da da da, and all those other things, you know. And one thing, when you do the inventory, it will have other people, you know, who I hurt, you know. You know, what did I do, and, you know, what are the people that hurt, mom, dad, you know, as a result of my action, or teachers, blah, 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 right? You know, people that is in my life. But the same person was coming up all the time, and naturally, one name coming up, that's my name. Anyways, after I did the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh, just keep on praying, I did have this experience, and I seen something. I was faced, because I'm in this new relationship, and I got afraid again. I got afraid that I wasn't going to be loved. When the fact is, I needed to really learn how to love, you know. But anyway, what had happened is, I seen myself, you know, I went into that position, that surrender position again in sobriety. And, you know, the thinking go off, and all the old patterns, the old choices come back. But this is what happened. I saw me, you know, get up. You know, I saw me stand up, and I know, like, oh God, you know, who's that? Who is that? And that was me, and I stood up. But I saw every single Chrissy stand up, from Pete, from Joe, from Bob, all of them went stand up. I mean, from school, all of them went stand up. Wasn't spiritual experience. I just feel like God just came and said, you know what, I love all of you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And AA, they said, do not be discouraged. You know, but that was my prayer life, you know. Asking, you know, doing the sixth and the seventh. Prepping me for the eighth. And, you know, I am one, I'll be honest, you know. I'm not supposed to not be honest, but, you know, I'll be honest. I went into the ninth step. Like I was in the Marines, just put it that way. You know, I just went into the ninth step. I had my list, And because I'm on an island, I'm born and raised, you know, on this island. We're on an island. You see what I'm saying? Ain't nobody leaving, or they went, you know, went across the bridge, got to pay the toll, you know. You're never going to see them again, you know. But that's not the reason why I did it. I just wanted more. I just, because I tasted the promise of the fourth and the fifth step, that if I did confess, if I got honest to God and another human being and myself without bypassing myself, something wonderful was going to happen, and that's what happened. Okay, and I went, and I will say this, you know, God was present. You know, I did my ninth step, you know, and I continued. I was praying, and I did. I went face to face with many of those people I had injured. I went with pocket money. I went with money. I went with a couch one time. I went to with a couch to go and give the lady back the couch, because I always burn up the couch. You know what I mean? Just a full pass out burn, you know. I remember, and you know, and I, you know, and it's not like we was all ritzy or Hawaii Kai or very rich, so I could go to the thrift store and get a couch. And I remember my friend going, "What is this?" And "This is the couch. Remember the couch and burn up?" I said, "Here it is." You know, to the best of my ability, I made amends. And the amazing thing is, I was amazed at the ability I had. I mean, from a girl who came over here and had to wear a name tag just so I could get to know my name. You understand? The ability that was given to me throughout the days of sobriety, as I draw the sober breath, show up, get into action, do the step. I was amazed. And the ability that was given to me is, you'd be surprised. You know what they say? Pray, God's going to bring the people. I did pray, and all of them would show. You know what I mean? They did show. You know, and here's the thing, with all the seven deadly defects, you know, and we all know them, they're all in the book, you know, from pride all the way down to anger, you know, everything. And you know, I said I'm a strong person, so you know, I would kind of react physical, yeah. So, and when I look at the principle of step nine, and they said to Christy, for each time, you know, they said with the bat of anger, you had intended to bat on somebody's head. Now, not only drunk now, because this can be sober too. That's why we need sponsors, and I gotta keep coming back. You know, that I had intended to bat on somebody else's head, always gonna come back to me. That is the great principle of anger. My sponsor today, Mary Jo, you know, she was telling me, you know, like, put the D over there, because anger is like, you know, one letter away from danger. And she is right, you know, because, you know, once I react over there, boom, you know, and the fact is, I don't need to go there, you know. You know how they say, I'm just one drink away from the, you know, from the next drunk, or, you know, like the drink is right there. I know. You see, I know the drink is right there, but what I do know, that is, there's a prayer right there too. You know, at any time I can choose to pray, I can choose to go to God and say, you know, God, yeah, I'm kind of whacked or whatever, but, you know, restore me to sanity again. You know what I mean? Restore me to sanity again. I know you love me. You know what I mean? Here's my life again. You know what I mean? Let me show me where I'm at again. You know what I mean? Because I cannot rest on yesterday's program. I cannot rest on yesterday's inventory. You know what I mean? That's to sit on our laurels. Oh, nay, no way. You know what I mean? Because, hey, got all kinds of new booze, by the way, that they just went distilled that I never did taste, you know? You know, one time when Zima came out, I went, whoa, what is this? That looks kind of interesting, you know? And you see what I'm saying? So I cannot rest on the gifts that gave me 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You know, and if we suffer, that's just God calling, girlfriend, your turn, step up to the podium. You know what I mean? It's He's just trying to love me again, you know, clean me up again, learning new stuff, you know? And then I enter into the steps again. You know, and as a result of, you know, of all of that, you know, I stayed sober and I got joy. You know, I learned to love, you know, in spite of myself. You know why? Because God is real and He does love me, and He's standing right here with me. You know, and the thing is, I know that I can ask, teach me to love. It's not about anybody not loving me, trust me. You know what I mean? I can stand up here and whine. My parents was alcoholic, but you know, we got sober ladies out there that are gonna say, excuse me, next. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, all those things that can come, you know, but the bottom line is, it's about me and my recovery, you know, and I have experienced that, and I have experienced all the promises, you know, the promises of Alcoholics Anonymous that God said he would, God could and would, you know, and he did, you know. I tell you, I did make amends, and I did make myself porno, you know, porno, one with each other, you know, and sit there and look in the eyes. And many of the people I went to say I was sorry. Most of that was emotional inventory. I never steal because I was out there working. You see what I'm saying? Working girls don't need steal. You know, so I never have I never have financial inventory. You know, I had emotional and spiritual inventory. You see, so when I went, I had to go face to face, and I even went to the other girls. You know, there was a time when I discovered how big God was and who he loved and how much love he had for me. You know, I had to go back to all the other girls who I was working with, you know, and ask them for forgiveness too. Why? Well, even though we were all in the, you know, the same salon, whatever, we're doing the deals, but I went there to tell them, you know what? I never know God would love us. So I'm here to tell you, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, whatever, when you fell asleep or, you know, whatever, and then when they say, how can you say sorry? I said, well, because like, yeah, I'm sober now and I'm making amends. And it led an opening to them to say, you know what, why were you saying sorry? Because, you know, and really, in that world, why do you say sorry? Because that's the name of the game, honey. You sleep, bam, brought it here, boom, you out, bam, I got the deal. That's just how it is. But when you get sober and you realize how big God is and how forgiving he is, and that's what happened, how forgiving. You know, if God had a middle name, I got a middle name. My name is Christy Kalehua Hanaloa Patey. I believe God got a middle name. His name is forgiveness to me. You know what I mean? It's like your name is God forgiveness. You know what I mean? Because I experienced that. That's what made me rise out of all the pain of yesterday. And you know what? No more. The committee not kicking in anymore. You see what I'm saying? And nowadays, you know, when the committee does come, the stinking thinking, I just call on God. I say, you know what? Okay, you guys just take it up with the Lord. You understand? If he thinks he's supposed to get me, sure, but he ain't because he loved me. You see what I'm saying? That's how I do it today because I have progressed, you know? And I have entered you know, the fourth dimension. I dabble in the fourth dimension. I love it, you know. I got married. I had two beautiful children. A lot of my healing experience was through my children, my early childhood, you know, and without going on and on and on. But as I look at my babies and I love them, you know, and, you know, through, you know, my love for them, you know, and through, I would pray to God and I would ask, you know, my God, as I understand him, the Lord, to Lord Jesus, to help me to raise these babies, to give them more than what was given me. And I'm not over here whining about my parents not being able to give me, because they did. Trust me. Look what they gave me. They gave me you. This is the greatest inheritance, you know, for an alcoholic addict, you know. You know, they gave me you. But through my children and through God, you know, and these 12 steps that helped me to get to him, you know, and through the fellowship of the women, you know. I had Jackie Malani come into my house, help me organize all my baby clothes, you know. That's a big deal for a woman who gets plenty pride. You know what I mean? That's the most sensitive area of recovery women is with their children. Don't you ever tell them, you know, I live this alcoholic, you know. You know what I mean? I mean, recovery, I'm so protective, you know, and I don't want to hear, like, I may not be able to love them, you know, but I can, you see, I can. Through prayer, I just, you know, I did pray. One time I was spinning and you know, some of the memories of my childhood was coming up and I was getting afraid. And I wanted to, like, take it out on my mother, you know. I wanted to. But I didn't, because I know, you know, I love my mom. So I said a prayer, and I'm a Catholic, you know, and I went straight to the Blessed Mother. I said, Blessed Mother, help me, you know. And right there, Jackie Malani came across the street, and she came to me, and she helped me to wash my baby and you know, fold the clothes. Now, my mother raised 6 children. My mother knows how to raise children. But it was part of my healing. You see what I'm saying? And God did step in for me. And I want to say this. There's a lot of ways of healing, you know, out of the 12 steps and outside of the 12 steps. But my child, who was 2 days old, didn't have the time to wait for me to go to therapy and come through all the psychobabble stuff. And then, you know, by the time she's 2, she can have her first bath. You see what I'm saying? No, I don't think so. You know what I mean? You know, and so, you know what I mean? And you know, God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And he does it through you. You know, and you know what? I never had to let what I believe is the disease, you know, try and resurrect inside of me and hurt my mom. She'd been sober for almost 20-something years. Did you think I can go over there? And she passed away already, but at that time she had 23 years. And just because I have that emotional stuff that coming from baby time, I'm going to hammer her. You know what I mean? I don't think so. You know what I mean? I know that. You see, I know that. I just having this, I don't know what they call it, anxieties or something. That's the word, right? Anxiety starts to come up. But in the meantime, I know I can just hit it. You know, A, B, C, boom, just hit it. God, cool and wood, bam, go see him. And that's what I did. You know, and boom, right away, bam, here's another lady. She just come right in, you know, and boom, solution. Okay, move on. You know, because I love my mom, see. I'm not using her for excuses of why I fail or whatever. You know what I mean? And that was just feelings anyway. That's not fact. You know, I learned that in AA. Feelings doesn't mean it's fact. And that was all just feelings. You know, and thank God through a prayer and through God answering my prayer, you know, Jackie came. You know, and boom, I was well on my way into motherhood. Now I'm going to say this too. Early childhood, planning hit. I really praise God, and I really give all the credit and all the glory to God, my God, because I had not, first of all, I have a beautiful husband. He's a beautiful man, very gentle, totally different from me. I mean, you know, he's a very gentle man. And I learned from him. I learned from him how to speak quietly, can you believe it, gentle with the babies, with the children, and really, you know, and that's a big deal, because when you're alcoholic, you have all the 7 deadly, the pride, the envy, the sloth, that there, you know, and that's why I enter and I try and seek God. God, help me to remove this. This is standing in the way of me becoming who you like me be. I cannot even move this. Trust me. I tried. I failed. Come and remove this. And in removing that, I was able to just receive from my husband. You know what I mean? He like teach, you know, the change diaper, everything. Now I'm good. You know, all of those things, very gentle, you know. And as a result, you know, I got peace. You know, not only for my children, but for me. You know, because I cannot give away something I haven't got. And if I only got crack when I little, I better have a teacher that step up to show me how not to crack. You see what I'm saying? And I was given one. Many, many sitting in this room right now. But mostly to my husband, of all people. Yeah, to my husband. He's very gentle. But it's still left up to me, in humility, to receive. To receive and say, okay, well, you know, hon, I know you are the man, you know what I mean? So what? You can be the gentle man. That's who I love, the gentle man. Even up to parenting, you know? And that was beautiful, you know? And that's a direct result of, you know, of graces from my higher power, from my loving God. And so as a result, you know, I feel like a mother. I don't know if that make any sense to what, you know, I like a mother. Not just somebody who gave birth. You know, but like a mother and being able to suit up and show up and get into service for them, you know, to serve them, you know. I just recently learned that marriage was serving. You know, I mean, I knew it was, but I got to be taught, you know, just like all the rest of the steps, you know, say, you know, marriage is service, you know, giving of yourself, you know. And you know, all of that would have not been possible. I learned that behind that boom. That's where I started. You know, I see plenty of girls come over here and we do fall in love at the coffee pot, you know. And, you know, but we have to learn to give, and I started to learn behind the broom. You know, behind the broom, picking up ashtrays, you know, service. And I find out that everything, employment is service, not just a job and you get money. You know, depending on where you work, you really got to talk to God, you know. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, oh no, you know. That is service, you know. So, you know, I got to say this. What's happening today? Today I'm very happy. I'm happy. You know, I'm madly in love with my husband. And you know, what's more so, he more in love. He loved madly in love with me. You know what I mean? I'm not Miss Bravo girl, you know, the kind of, oh, we're going to Lake Tahoe. Oh, I don't think so. You know what I mean? And I'm a mother. That's all I wanted to be, you know. I just wanted to be mother and wife. Impossible without sobriety. Impossible. You know, and so today I stay into service. I'm going to get off right now. Stay into service and put the hand out. You know, if any of you ladies is out there who is in early recovery, you know what I mean? I hope I gave you the message of hope. I hope I gave you the message not to give up. Persevere. Call your sponsor. If you're beefing with her, get off right off the phone. Call her back. You see what I'm saying? Call your sponsor, get into service, because this is for you too. This is for you too. And I think of it, oh, I did ask God, God, why you let me ask, say, tell him, this is for you too. And God bless you, and have a wonderful weekend. That's all for sure. Thanks.